I'm live. Good evening, everyone. It's good to have you all here. Thanks for coming back. We had a lesson a few weeks ago, seems like forever ago, on eldership. So that I got to thinking about that. I don't remember in my time having a deacon's lesson on what the qualifications of deacons are and what their duties would be and where that can be found until I decided to started studying it. Then I found that there are qualifications and it is an important work. Most of the time in my years, it was hard enough just trying to get elders passed or get elders appointed without some, you know, big blow up. And the congregations I went to that had elders, well, it was already in place and the deacons were already there. And then they were just adding deacons at a later date. So I just don't remember a time where we had a qualifications, you know, lesson. So I thought that'd probably be a good thing for us to do since we haven't had this opportunity to have elders in several 18 years or so. So it's good to understand what the deacons are required of them. And it's a similar process for we would select the deacons and put their names forward. And then if you had any scriptural issues with them, something that we might not know about, but, you know, from the surface or some sort of issue that you know of that is, like I said, scriptural, then you can bring it to us and to them in that time period. So first we're going to note that the deacons' qualifications aren't as rigid. They're not as strict as the eldership qualifications because they're not doing the spiritual protection of the flock. All the things we talked about, we have to watch the spiritual health and all the rest of that that goes with the eldership. Their idea is more in the servant role, like all of us are, but they basically, we help direct them on what we need done so we can stick with scriptural and spiritual matters. So they have a different work. So, here we go. First thing is they must be grave. And most of this is going to be found in 1 Timothy 3, 8, I think, through 13. And then also there's a couple in Acts 6, 3. Yeah, there's three or four of them in Acts 6, 3. So if you ever wanted to turn to that, you'll see where these are coming from. So 1 Timothy 3, starting in verse 8, down to 13. All right, they must be grave. So they have to have a seriousness to their work. So when they get assigned something to do, that they need to take it seriously and get it done, is kind of the idea. They have to be dependable and trustworthy in the work. So whatever needs to be done. A man in the office must be aware of his influence and reputation. A certain seriousness in accomplishing duties. So that's kind of the first thing that we're going to look for in a deacon. All right, the next thing, and that can be found in, like I said, 1 Timothy 3, 8. They must not be double-tongued. So what's double-tongued? That's kind of a old-fashioned terminology, you know, like evil concupiscence. So I don't mind it. But sometimes deacons' work will be on reporting certain cases, things that they hear, things that they hear out in the congregation, and then they report back to us. And it's usually involving others, and it's usually involving something that we need to address as elders. So we have to have the facts presented to us correctly and honestly. They can't say one thing to one person and then say another thing to another person and try and kind of change what they're saying. So they get a report, and then they make a different report. They can't be talking out of both sides of their mouth, in other words. So there's to be that type of person that will be with that honest in their reporting of what they report. The next thing is must not be given to much wine. So the idea appears to be, in the case of deacons, is because, of course, in the elders, it's not to be addicted to any wine. So in this case, much wine. So not to indulge in wine officially in any form, to become addicted to it, is kind of the idea here. So we already know that drunkenness is forbidden in any form, but they don't want you as deacons to even pick up the habit to start with that could cause you to be addicted. So basically they're saying none in a roundabout way is what I got from it. And that's it can be found in 1 Timothy 3:8. All right, so they must not be greedy of filthy lucre, which is must not be guilty of dealing dishonestly for self-gain, not trying to get money, and if you had to get it in a dishonest way, then so be it. That's what they are not to be able to do. They must not use any means to obtain it and be sought after to get gain at any price. So it's similar to what also the elders have to do, is not be that way. And then the next thing, number five, is they must hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And all those first four can be found in 1 Timothy 3:8. So in 1 Timothy 3:9, it says you must hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. So this person, this man must be unmovable in his hold on sound doctrine. He has to understand sound doctrine and not let anything sway him from it. So if he has a duty and he comes across something where he's got a choice, am I going to hold the sound doctrine or am I going to let this go? For example, like we talked about a little bit earlier about the double tongue part. You come across a brother who's you've known a while or whatever it is, and you say, do I really want to rat him out, so to speak, right? Because that's what we have to talk. That's what we're talking about here. If it comes to a point where you have a situation, and that's just the easy example to pick, where you got somebody and they're doing something, and the elders need to know about it, and you don't want to be that type of person who doesn't hold true to what you know you have to do. So we must never violate his conscience in doing or saying anything that conflicts with the faith. So that sounds easy, but that, again, discipline, like we talked about in the class this morning, is a difficult thing because it's not easy to address those types of things. Number six, and this is 1 Timothy 3:10. It must first be proved. So we kind of got the idea there. They have to be shown by their lives the ability to do what is required of them. So basically the way they live their lives has to show that they have the ability to use the scriptures in a righteous way. The standard of proving is not human opinion. So we can't prove them by our opinions. Well, I don't like the way he does this, or he didn't use his blinker when he turned left. This guy you put up for a deacon, so I'm going to knock him out. He's always had a problem with that. So it's not human opinion where we're talking about, but through the Word of God, they must be proved. Do they now conform is the idea. So you may have some ideas that, well, this person when he was growing up was this way, and then when he did this at this age, and I don't know if he's going to be a good deacon now, but how is he today in, I guess you could say, the last, whatever, 10 years, 15 years, how is he proved to be a next one is a blameless man? So that's the next thing, number seven. Goes along with number six, which is he proved? So, idea of blameless. So deacons must be men against whom no evil report can be sustained. So vine, if you look up the Greek terminology, says the absence of ever a charge or accusation against him. So you can't have somebody say, oh no, this guy is this, and you have a bad report of him. So he has to have that blameless type of life and has to be sustained. Now, we all come from different places and different areas in our lives where maybe we may have done certain things, and we're not talking about that. We're talking about blameless now and an absence of a charge. So, number eight, you must Well, first you should say he has to be the husband of one wife. Of course, I forgot to put that in there until the end, when I got to the end of my paperwork. And I was like, oops. So I don't want to talk about he has to rule his children and his house well. Has to be a husband and he has to have one wife, same as the elders. And then he must rule his children and his house well. And that's in 1 Timothy 3:12. All right, so the deacon must rule both his wife and children. Has to do that in a good manner. Now, the main difference between deacons is they're not required to have believing children. That's not a requirement. So that means they can be younger men that have younger children, where they wouldn't have raised them up to where they have to prove that they can handle the idea of raising somebody and that they're believing after they've grown. So they can be younger men, it can be older men, it doesn't really have a designation there. The main reasons deacons' children do not need to be necessarily believing is if they were younger, like I said, not of an age where they were 7 and 8 and 10, something like that. You can't hold them responsible for that and say, well, they don't have believing children. So that's not one of the requirements. They just have to do what they're doing well. You must be, number 9, and this is found in Acts 6. You must be of honest report, very similar to blameless and very similar to being proved. Must have a good record as a Christian man, either within the church or without. People you talk to, I guess, associates or people in the community. Can't say, well, that guy's terrible in the community, but he seems to be good in the church. Can't have that. Has to be an honest report. Number 10. He must be filled with wisdom, also in Acts 6:3. So what is wisdom? Must be well acquainted with the Word of God. You'll notice in all of these that they have similar veins in these groupings, where, wow, that sounds like similar to the other thing and similar to the other thing. That is true. They all have a similar vein, but they are different words and they have slightly different meanings. So, must be well acquainted with the Word of God, so he is able to perform his work in harmony with New Testament principles. So he has to be able to take the principles he knows in working in his life and with his family and apply that to the work he does for the church. He must have wisdom to do whatever work is assigned to him. And of course, earlier, do it well and do it on time, so to speak. And the next thing, he must be full of the Holy Spirit, also in Acts 6:3. All right, full of the Holy Spirit in respect of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, a holy life, basically. And we can find that in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. So in order for him to be full of the Holy Spirit, he has to possess these eight things. And it is love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you do these things, you will never fall, kind of an idea. So in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he has to have these fruits of this type of life, which is not difficult to see in these men. Of course, he has to be the husband of one wife, be married to one woman. So the work of a deacon cannot be scripturally done unless the men meet the qualifications as listed. So they do have these qualifications, and they do have to fit into that realm as men. So every man here has a duty to the church, and they can do work, and they can perform work, like serving at the Lord's table, saying prayers, ushering. They can do things like passing out flyers. Even the young men can do that. So the work of everyone is not excluded, but the deacons have special work that's outside of the normal realm because they have these qualifications that they have to meet in order to do that and work with the elders. So that's kind of the idea. So not all of you are off the hook just because you're not going to be deacons. You still can lead prayers and do lots of things outside the building, for the building, inside the building, but the work will be different for the deacons. So just wanted to get that out of the way. So let's talk about also the duties of the deacons once appointed. Now in Acts 6, 1 through 4 is where pretty much we find that. There's one other spot that has a little bit in there, but it's kind of a necessary conclusion. When you read it, you're like, okay, well, I can conclude that the deacons can do that. So we're going to stick with Acts 6, 1 through 4. So if you want to turn there, we can read that. All right. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples to them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So if you noticed in that reading, that is their purpose, and what exactly they're going to be doing in the church isn't really spoken of in that vein. It's just kind of like, okay, well, we know there was an issue. We know that the apostles got together, elders, so to speak, said, we got to have somebody else do this because we need to do spiritual things. So they hired these, they picked out 7 men, put them in charge of doing the physical work that needed to be done so the apostles could tend to spiritual matters. All right, and that's kind of what we get out of that. And all this comes through there. So the brilliance of that in through God is that the elders' work and the elders' qualifications have never changed over the last 2,000 years since it was instituted, since we had that first 100 years and everything was written down. It's all spiritual realm, all that. So that doesn't change. There's a lot that's said about that. The deacons, like I said, 2,000 years ago, they didn't have what we have today that people had to worry about. All they had in this particular case was these widows weren't getting taken care of. But the Grecians and the Hebrews were fighting back and forth because they were getting served and these guys weren't, and back and forth. So that's just a small little thing of serving food or doing physical things. There's not a lot said about that. But over the years, things 30, 40 years ago, you might not have had the same things that we're addressing today for deacons. So their jobs change over the ages. We know that we didn't have all these fancy electronics, didn't have all these fancy things that we do with videos and going out online, and that's something deacons can take care of. And we know in the ancient days that wasn't around. So the deacons' jobs are always ever changing as the ages come about. And I think that's an important designation on why it's so vague what they're doing. But they are to help. We know that they are to help the elders with the physical things that need to get done so we can tend to spiritual matters. So what is given is not the actual duties of the deacons, but we're given the nature of the work as servants to the elders. It's kind of an easy way to do it. Deacon work is to administer to the physical needs of the church as explained in Acts. The deacons are to attend to the secular necessities of the church. So we have a lot of things we have to do in this church to keep it running. One of them we know from the scripture is to serve tables. So how does that translate today? We work today is the core of those who are in need. That is the main thing that they're supposed to do. So if we have somebody that's in need of something, need of some physical things, where they need something done for them at their home, they have some physical needs getting in the building, we know that for sure is what they have to do. According to the And it's also according to whatever the particular need of the congregation is, as far as what our physical needs would be. So other congregations and other areas are going to have other things for deacons to do. So you can't say, well, we did this over here, and so you guys can do it over there. It's whatever we need as a congregation, spiritually, we figure out, and then the deacons figure out how we can serve you and how they can serve the congregation and what they need. And we don't know exactly what that is yet as it comes up. And then, of course, we have to direct all this stuff. Then the second thing it talks about, besides serving tables, is relieve the apostles, in our case it would be elders, so they can attend to the ministry of the word. So that's what we're supposed to do, and they have to lighten the load, so to speak. So, for example, the baptistry sprung a leak. Leaked into the ceiling, down on the carpet a couple days ago. I got a call, what are we going to do? And they, do you want me to take care of it? Yeah, you bet I do. So I definitely turned that one over. So that's kind of the idea. So that thing starts leaking. They got to get a plumber. They're going to take care of that, this and that and the other thing. I can meet with Mike. We can talk about other issues. I don't have to run down here and take care of everything that goes on. So if we have another issue of, say, the something happens that we need to address, then we can find someone as the deacon and say, what can you help us with this? So we have to surround ourselves with men that can help with these types of issues, if that makes any sense. Okay. Deacons take care of the constant needs of every worship service. We know that they have people that schedule, people to lead the singing. We have people that schedule who's going to do in the Lord's Supper, who's going to, you know, put the Lord's Supper together to bring it out. You know, who's going to be leading some of the teaching downstairs? All those things. Ushers, preparation of the building, what goes on outside, what goes on inside, turning on the air conditioning. All those sorts of things are major important, believe me. And they all affect the elements of worship and how we go about our worship. So security also in this day and age is something we didn't think about 15 years ago, 10 years ago. You know, what are we going to do if there's somebody comes in the door and Mike or I are standing up here going, and if we do that, you guys know somebody's going to have to jump into action. Everybody hit the deck, right? But that's something we had to do today. We have to do today. We have to think about. It came close with us. Lisa and I went down to visit Teresa, who's my older daughter, and her husband in Tennessee. And then we were trying to figure out what church we wanted to go to because they hadn't gone. They've only been to one church, and there was a smaller congregation. They said, hey, maybe we can go to this one. And they go, well, it's a little smaller. I want to try the bigger one. So the four of us went to the larger church, and that very day, that church, it was in Tennessee. Can't remember the name of the city. But that was where our shooting was that morning, was the morning we went to the larger congregation. So who would ever thought it would be that close to home? We could have been in that room, all four of us could have been in that room when that man came down and started shooting people in Tennessee, in Nashville. So you never know. So it is something we have to do today and something the deacons can take care of. So sadly enough. So there's other things that must be done. Also the general care of the grounds, building, the heat, AC, like I mentioned, the baptistry, and other things like that. So this is directly the work of the deacons. So that gives you kind of an idea of what the qualifications are. So when we put forth names, a group of names, and you guys are looking at them, you have the qualifications in those two passages, those two groupings, Acts 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13, and then Acts 6, 3. It tells you everything you need to know about what type of men these have to be. So once we give you those men and put them up, if you have a problem or an issue scripturally with them, then let us know and we'll go through that process. If not, then we'll be appointing them in a future date. So right now we're still deliberating on what we need, what the needs of the congregation are, what we need help with right away. Doesn't mean that if we have a smaller group and then we can always add to the group. And there isn't a very large process for that. because anybody we would put forward, if not this time, you know, 6 months from now or whatever, that it would be the similar thing. We put the two or one or two men forward and say, these two are going to be considered. If you don't have a problem within 3 weeks, 2 weeks, whatever it is, you do that. So I know that the deacon's part can grow fairly easily as we find needs and people, and we find people that are qualified for that. So I guess that would be it. I'm sorry I couldn't fill the whole time for you, but I thought it might be a little bit shorter because it's a little bit of a shorter list and there's not a lot said, and it's still up to us to figure out who we want to put forward. So if you are here tonight and it wasn't a lesson to teach you how to become a child of God, but if you believe and you've heard the word now, you've heard some of the word today, and you want to be baptized, we